Hey everyone, my name is Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circuit Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus, our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
All right, we're going to do something really fun tonight. We're going to have a conversation on the Holy Spirit together, and I'm excited. We got Anna in the house, Sophie, Ian, and I just believe that tonight there's going to be real revelation shared in this conversation. I once heard a pastor give kind of a biblical teaching on the power of conversation, and he used Isaiah 6 as a reference, where the seraphim are, it says they're communicating back and forth. They're having a conversation saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And it's in the midst of their conversation that the presence of God fills the room. They talked about the power of talking about Jesus, talking about the presence of God, talking about the things of God. How many of you in your life have had one of those conversations with your friends where, like, that was a life-changing conversation, that something happened? And so I believe tonight, as we have a conversation, the Holy Spirit's going to fill the room. And so I want you to lean in, because I really think you're going to be able to receive something from the Holy Spirit tonight and from this crew. So, you guys ready? Yeah. All right, I'm going to ask all of you a question here. So you're all going to answer me on this first question, all right? And so my question is, when did the Holy Spirit become real to you? Not just like a theological construct, but like, when did the person of the Holy Spirit become a reality in your life? Was it a moment? Maybe it's a crazy story. So you just want to start us off, and we'll go down the list.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, guys, the moment the Holy Spirit became real for me was actually at a Circuit Rider event. Yes, that's an unintentional plug. but I was 18. I was a Carry the Love host, and I was freshly saved, and I already had felt the Holy Spirit ministering to me in little ways, but I wasn't sure if it was the Holy Spirit. So I was like, is this really God? Am I bugging? I remember walking into rooms and having almost like a sense about people. And I was like, is there something wrong with me? Like, why would I assume that about somebody? And then it was at that Carry the Love event. That was actually that team's first stop of tour. So their tour leaders were giving them a pump-up speech like, if you hear something, it's God. And as they're giving their team this speech, I'm literally getting empowered, like, these are the ways of the Holy Spirit. I'm not just some crazy person who's making up stories about people. Like, could it be that God is actually speaking to me about things? Wow. So that was when it really began to shift into that relationship and not just like a ethereal, spooky Holy Spirit.
And so how, yeah. You said you were freshly saved, like how newly saved we're talking?
Okay, so I for real gave my life to Jesus at 17.
Okay.
And then this is me like at 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So you hadn't been walking with Jesus for like a decade, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It was like
little things here and there, like little unctions, little moments where I was just like, this thought isn't from me, but is it God? I don't know. Walking in that tension. But I feel like that was the moment it became clear, this is the Lord.
Wow. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Sophie?
Yeah, so good. Honestly, very similar to Anna. I got saved when I was 16 years old, radically, radically saved. Life was completely different. And I had grown up in a family that loved the Holy Spirit. My mom loved the Holy Spirit and was very charismatic, but I was not. And so after I got saved, I just kind of thought like everyone was the same denomination. Like I had no idea that there were different denominations of Christianity. So I thought everybody was familiar with the Holy Spirit. And I knew him as like an encounter. So I knew that if you went into worship and you cried, that was the Holy Spirit. Or I knew that you could get a goosebump and then that would be the Holy Spirit. But I didn't know that he wanted to talk to me personally. And so when I was 16, I remember I was really burdened for my high school to meet Jesus. And I went into my bedroom and I was praying for my high school, praying for actually one of my friends to get saved. And as I'm praying for her, I just feel this like deep emptiness like in my gut. And I feel that, like, I realized later it was the Holy Spirit, but I feel this voice in my head say, this is how your friend feels. And so I just began to cry and pray for my friend. And then after about 30 minutes, it kind of passed. And I was like, that was weird, and went to bed. And then the next day, I saw my friend and I asked her to go get lunch. And I was like, hey, I want to share something with you. And I just began to tell her what happened. I was like, I was praying for you last night, and I just felt this deep emptiness in my gut. And as I'm explaining what I felt, she just begins to cry. And she goes, that's how I felt for the last several years of my life. How did you know that? And I said, oh, I didn't know that. God knows you. He loves you. I got to share the gospel with her. And it actually was a longer journey. 2 years later, she gave her life to Jesus. But the point that I felt like that the Lord kind of showed me was like what made him no longer a resource, what made him no longer like a cool experience, something that you experience in worship or something that makes you cry, but actually a person, was that he was talking to me. And you think about having a conversation with someone, that's really personal. That's not a force. That's not ethereal. Like for somebody to talk to me and say, hey, your friend feels like this, only like a person could do that. So yeah.
And you were how old?
I was 16.
16. Let's go. Okay, I have some thoughts. I'm going to come back. Ian, hit us. Let's go, brother.
What's up, everybody? I grew up very the opposite, in a non-charismatic background. And so I had learned about the Holy Spirit. You know, you read it in the Bible. But beyond knowing that the Holy Spirit existed, I had no idea what the point of the Holy Spirit was. It just wasn't ever taught. I don't ever remember a sermon growing up about the Holy Spirit or that even mentioned it. When I was 16 years old, so I had kind of left the church for about 3 years, from 13 to 16. And I also gave my life to Christ when I was 16. And it was a radical transformation that took place in my life. So I went from just crazy depressed, lost, to completely transformed in like a day. And so I had this grace land on me, and I'm so grateful to God that he saved me in this way. Because I am a very, like, I think a lot and overthink a lot. So I would have a hard time accepting this, you know, reality of the Holy Spirit, except for the fact that when I gave my life to Christ, my life was so radically transformed that I knew it was real. And so this grace landed on me in that moment. And I said, if God could transform me from this place, then all of the stuff in Scripture must be real. Wow. And so I locked myself in. I was the janitor at my church at the time, and I had this room that basically I just turned into my prayer room, and I would pray there and seek the Lord for hours and go like, if the Holy Spirit is real and all these things, I believe it, I want to receive it. And I remember going on this journey for 6 months of saying like, I want to discover everything about the Holy Spirit. It was like every day something was being revealed. And the first times I ever really heard the Holy Spirit, it was him actually bringing Scripture to my mind that I had no business remembering. I'm like, how did I even, like I was praying about something and then the Scripture would come to mind. I literally would run over to this computer that was in this room and type it in. I didn't have an iPhone back then. I'd run to this computer, type it in, and I'd be like, how did I know that was a Scripture? Where did that come from? The Holy Spirit began to reveal Bible verses to me that were transforming my life. And after 6 months, I got to this point where I said, I finally believe, like, I believe the Holy Spirit is real. I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real. I believe speaking in tongues is real. Glory to God. And I said, I literally had this moment where I go, I was in a sanctuary kind of like this. And I said, I am not leaving this place. I prayed it out loud. I said, God, I'm not leaving this place until you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit that I could be a witness. And I prayed that. And that night I was filled with the Holy Spirit. So that was my dream.
Come on. So good. How old were you? Huh? How old were you?
16.
Wow. Man. Something it's interesting as you guys are sharing that this relational nature of the Spirit and both of your stories specifically of how the Spirit like gave you something, like he started giving you his thoughts, gave you his feelings, like you felt the feelings of the Spirit, like this is how I feel, this is my burden. And I love the relational nature of it. And just thinking about my own life, like when I got really touched by the Holy Spirit, I was a broken drug addict at an altar. And, you know, you're 16 years old, you're freshly saved. And I think so often in our minds, we think, well, I've got to reach this measure of maturity in Christ before the Holy Spirit could maybe trust me with something. But like you're 16 and the Spirit's saying, here, I want to give you my my burdens. I mean, maybe Sophie, maybe give us a little bit more. Like, has there been other moments where you felt the Spirit kind of give you his heart or his burden for people? What's that like? And how do you respond when that happens?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to just say too, talking about being 16 and being a young person, like even just to paint a picture at my high school, like I was the girl that was like the bad influence. Like people's parents didn't want their kids to hang out with me. Like I never felt like I was the right person to be used by the Holy Spirit or that the Holy Spirit would ever want that deep relationship with me. So that's even when I gave my life to Jesus, I was taken aback that he would share something so personal with me. So yeah, it really has nothing to do with like where you've come from. It's just God's mercy that he loves you. But sorry, the question was.
Yeah, just like, how do you respond, right? So like, yeah. In that moment, maybe you went into prayer, but like, has there been other moments in your life where the Spirit gives you, like, you get that sense, like, and how do you know that that's not your feelings? Like, how have you learned to discern in your relationship with the Holy Spirit when, like, oh, you're doing something in me?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so I came to Circuit Riders originally to help lead our Brave Love Women movement. And kind of the storyline of how I ended up here was really crazy. It's a long story, but it was really wild for me. And one of the things that made me know, like, I think we were going to talk about this a little later, but one of the reasons when the Lord speaks something that I know it's him is it's usually something I don't want to do or I don't care about. And and so when the Lord started speaking to me about his heart for women, I had been in a context where my relationships, my friendships with other women were very hurtful to me. And so for the Lord to give me a heart for women's ministry, that women would know him, that women would walk in their identity, that women would walk in boldness. I knew, man, this cannot be me because Sophie is offended. Sophie is broken. Sophie doesn't want to engage with those people that have hurt her, but the Holy Spirit loves those people. And so I think that's what made me know, like, this is the Lord really downloading his heart to me. And then I would say how you respond, I guess, varies depending on your relationship with the Holy Spirit and what he's going to ask you to do. But number one, when he gives you a burden, you always respond in prayer and always respond in your yes. Like, even if you don't fully know what you're saying yes to, you're just like, oh, like, I trust you, Lord. Regardless of what all the other details are, you can have my yes. And he, as you take that first step, he just leads you slowly, surely. And it's, yeah, it's a step of faith.
That's so good. Anna, I want to kind of continue in this vein here. Is as your walk with the Holy Spirit has developed and as you've grown, what role has risk played in your relationship with the Holy Spirit in terms of, you know, these moments where you get a prompting or you have an idea or a thought? And how has that played out in your life with the Holy Spirit?
Okay, I love this question because I think risk never goes away. Like, I got saved at 17. I'm currently 26, so almost 10 years. Hallelujah. Very happy about that. Yes. But to this day, God could be telling me something, and I'm like, ooh, but what if I'm wrong? What if it's not God? You know what I'm saying? So there's this element that it's always risky. I think the difference is now I have years of me stepping out in faith and God meeting my obedience. Me stepping out in faith, God meeting my obedience. So it really is a relationship that's built. That being said, I have plenty of times where I've stepped out and I was like, okay, maybe that wasn't the Lord. Yo, I'm talking about in evangelism. I'm sure, I'm convinced God's about to heal this person. I come up, yo, what's up? Does your knee hurt? Nope, mine neither. Okay, God bless you, have a great day. Just walk it off. So I think it even just comes down to like, settling in my heart, I would rather be wrong than not obey God. Like, I would rather, you know, look silly for a moment, ask a stranger on the street, does your knee hurt? And they say, nah, it doesn't. Stop talking to me. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. God bless you. Then if their knee did hurt and if God did heal them. And I have way more stories of the Lord coming through and of seeing God move in crazy ways than of being maybe wrong. And I believe that the sovereignty of God even covers those moments where he still crashes in, where maybe I was fully off, but God can still use that for something. So, yeah.
So good. How many of you have ever stepped out thinking God's asked you to do something and you step out and like you missed it? Anybody in the room? Okay, we got some failure moments. Well, okay, well, I'll ask you a question then. So how do you recover quickly from that? Because I think sometimes, right, when we take a step, we step out, we risk, we look dumb, we make a mistake. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can, like, it can take you a while to be, like, recovered. Like, okay, I'm going to go talk to another person. Yeah. Or I'm going to take another risk. How have you learned to overcome that and not just get paralyzed by the fear of making another mistake?
Oh, man, it's so good. I think it really just comes down to, is Jesus worthy of this? That's what it comes down to for me, where I'm like, okay, God, give me another one. Give me another one. And I definitely had those moments where I did walk it off for like a week. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm never speaking to anyone ever again. That's so embarrassing. But then God in his mercy prompting me again, and then me having a moment, and then someone literally receiving Jesus. And I'm like, man, I would look stupid a million times over. You know, let me get rejected by 100 people for this one person to go to heaven, you know? So yeah.
Yes.
Just keep going. That's so what I've done.
Ian, question for you, kind of in the same mode here is, because you have a very evangelistic gift on your life, very strong. And my question would be, do you always, like, feel the burden of the Holy Spirit? Like, or when you go out to share the gospel, is there just always this burning fire inside of, like, the Holy Spirit's like, now is the time to go? Or what does that look like in your relationship with the Holy Spirit to live a lifestyle of following his leading, but then also just kind of naturally living your life by the Spirit and sharing the love of Jesus with people?
Yeah, that's great. Almost never. I would say I almost never feel, like, on fire to go preach the gospel. It's just a part of my life, right? It's a part of the day. I think, like, a lot of times we over-spiritualize things as though the Holy Spirit is going to control me, you know? And it's like, I'm going to wake up and all of a sudden I'm going to feel like that person there, run over to them and say these three words. They're going to break down and cry. And it's like, it just doesn't work that way. And if you wait for those moments or you wait for that perfect evangelistic moment, you're never going to see it. And if you just walk around and you're just ripping it and you have no idea what you're doing, and you're just, that's the point, right? What did Paul do? He boasted in his weakness that he wouldn't be able to boast at the end of the day. Like, I'm not trying to look for the perfect moment or have the perfect words. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to do the work. And I would say some of the most incredible moments in my life were when I wasn't prepared at all for it. And I felt nothing in the moment. And then the moment, if I could share one even, because on this about risk is it, the question you always have to ask yourself is what's on the other side, or whose life is on the other side of this step of faith or this risk that I'm going to take. So if I don't take that step, right, I always paint it this way, right? The question that we could ask ourselves in our mind is what would happen to me if I say something, when really the question is what would happen to them if I don't?
So good. Say that again.
So the question we often ask ourselves is what would happen to me if I say something, versus the question we should be asking, what happens to them if I don't? And so when you feel these moments, it's like, I don't even need to wait for a moment. The Holy Spirit has already revealed to me, and I've been taught by the Word of God and by other people, right, when to preach the gospel, which is to all people, to all flesh. And so there was a moment, this was actually during my DTS. And it's kind of a crazy story if I can share it. This is not a permission slip. I've only ever done this one time in my entire life, given this like a word to somebody like this. I really don't hear words very often by the Spirit. I just kind of get these knowings, these unctions in my spirit. I was at UCI doing outreach, and I was in Starbucks doing homework because I was in college at the time and I did not have any time to do outreach. So think about it for a moment. There is no Holy Spirit here. I am writing a paper for college in Starbucks while everyone else is being spiritual, preaching the gospel. And as I'm sitting there, this guy comes and sits down next to me, places his bag, and he sees me writing, and he's like, hey, what's going on? And we started talking, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, man, like, have you heard about Jesus? Zero feeling in my heart. All of a sudden, he becomes extremely angry at me. He begins to scream, begins to cuss me out in the Starbucks. And I'm like, oh, we are 0.5 seconds away from getting kicked out of this place. And I've got to finish my paper. And I'm like, what do I do? I mean, he is screaming. I've never seen someone this mad in evangelism in my entire life. And I don't even know what came over me. I said out loud, I said, you don't want to listen because something happened to you by a leader in a church when you were younger. And I said, God is here to reveal to you that that wasn't him. He wants to redeem that and show you who he is. And he broke down crying. He immediately went silent. He broke down crying and he said, how did you know? And I said, I did not know. I had no idea, my brother. And in that Starbucks, he's crying in that moment. I'm supposed to be writing a paper. It's not getting done anymore. And I'm leading him to Christ. And he gives his life to Jesus in that moment. But there I had an opportunity, right? It's super uncomfortable. He's yelling. If I say something, it might agitate him even more. The easy thing is pack up my bags and leave the Starbucks. But what's on the other side of that risk is his life, his soul, and his peace and his healing that God was able to reach out and offer him in that moment.
Come on, Anna or Sophie, either of you have maybe some stories. Let's just maybe story time for a moment. Just when you have stepped out and you've risked, maybe you didn't feel it, maybe you did, and just what have you seen the Holy Spirit do as you've been obedient to reach out, to step out? What are some of the crazy things you've seen the Holy Spirit do? Because the Holy Spirit does crazy things. Either of you.
So evangelism was never something that came natural to me, ever. And even to this day, when I feel like the tug of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel, I'm always like, right now, like really right now, like, are you sure? And then you kind of do the thing where you're like, if they look at me and tilt their head to the right, then like maybe that's God and then I'll share the gospel. So I've always just had, it's never been like something that came naturally to me, but it is something that the Bible asks of us. And so when I joined Circuit Riders, that was kind of what propelled me into taking that first step in. Making sharing the gospel part of my everyday life. But when we were in Australia, so this was last summer, we were doing a CR school. Plug, you guys should come. And during the end of the CR school, we take everyone on outreach and go share the gospel. And so we're leading a huge team of like 70 students. We're all going out to share the gospel. And as we're heading out, they kind of brief us on the area. And they're like, this area is like the number one witchcraft capital of Perth. Like, kind of watch your back was the brief. It's like a little bit crazy. And we were like, okay, like no worries. It's going to be awesome. And we go in and we're talking to people, and I feel like just a tug, because a lot of times the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to me in like a booming voice or like a crazy like outpouring. It's normally just a little nudge in my heart, and just like Anna said, I really have to take the risk to know if it's really him. And so I feel this little nudge to go in this little boutique, and I walk in and there's a girl working there, and we're chatting, and I just start kind of asking her about her life. And I was like, what do you believe? Like, what do you believe about the world? What do you believe about God? And she starts sharing with me that she's kind of into crystals, like kind of into some new age stuff. And we're talking it through. And I go, have you ever heard of Jesus? And she goes, oh yeah, I love him too. Like, I kind of do it all. And I'm like, oh, you don't know. We're not on the same page. So then we keep talking. And I'm like, well, have you ever really heard the gospel? And she's like, no, I've never heard the gospel. I share just the simple gospel with her. And I just feel this kind of boldness rise up as the Holy Spirit. And I just looked at her and I said, your crystals do not care about your feelings. They cannot hear you when you pray. They can't hear you when you're in anxiety, when you're crying out at night. But there is someone that hears you. And I just tell her, I was like, the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're signing up for a relationship with him, you're getting rid of all this other stuff, these lesser things, and saying that you want to die to those old ways and sign up for life with him. And as I'm giving this really direct, like kind of altar call to this girl, she just breaks down in tears. And she's like, yes, I want to get home. Gives her life to Jesus. We got to connect her with a church in the area. And it was amazing.
Wow. And would you say that, like, that was Holy Spirit boldness coming over you? Would you normally confront the crystals that way?
I don't know if you can tell by my personality, but I'm a little more, like, soft-spoken. Like, oh, my gosh, how are you, girl? Like,
but something came on you.
Yes.
And you yielded.
Yes, absolutely. And just
and
felt.
She gave her life.
Yeah, and I think even what Ian said, thinking about that other person, like, I was just kind of in that moment. If I'm not honest with this girl about what she's engaging in and what it's really doing to her life, her soul is on the line. And so I think just having a fear of the Lord over her life. And yeah.
So good.
Yeah, okay, so this is a throwback to Jesus People Tour. So this was my first ever tour with Circuit Riders. And this was, I'm coming out of a few years of knowing
I'm going to run with Circuit Riders, but God hadn't fully released me to run. So I'm like a kid in a candy shop, because I feel like for years, God has like been teaching me, had me on the bench. So anybody I see, I'm like, you're getting the gospel. Like I was on a mission. I could not be stopped. So we're at a food bank in Texas, and we are literally just, as people like get their food, they come out, we're praying for them in teams. And a lot of these people were actually Spanish speakers. So we were going through translators, and I'm standing by the door. I see a lady pull up. She's in a Jeep. Bro, music bumping. This lady is cursing. Oh, she is cursing. I see her. I'm like, that one. I wanna evangelize to that one. She goes through the store on her way out. I see some girls already praying for her. So I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. But then she's on her way to her car, and I just run up to her, and she's literally, as she's walking, she's like a shopping cart. With each step, she's wincing and cursing. And I'm like, I've never seen someone in so much pain. And I was like, I'm so sorry, ma'am. Like, I don't want to bother you, but I'd love to pray with you. And she's like, okay, I have like arthritis in my body, so I can't stand for too long. Those girls already tried to pray with me, but I really need to get to my car because like I feel my knees are about to lock. I was like, okay, can I walk with you to your car? So I'm walking with her to her car, and she has a Jeep, so it's a little bit of a bigger step to get in. She tries to get in. She literally can't get in her car. So she's like sitting on her car so defeated. I have never prayed for healing up to this point. I'm like, okay, well, just gonna go for it. So I was like, look, I don't know, this is so crazy. Can I pray for your knees? I've seen God heal. Like, I just wanna pray for you. She's like, okay, go for it. So I just pray the most simple prayer. In Jesus' name, God, please heal her knees. And then she starts moving them, and she's like, Anna, I feel fire in my knees. And she starts to walk around the parking lot. I feel fire in my knees, Anna. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, had no idea if you would come through. So she comes back. She's like, you healed me. I'm like, well, girl, I didn't heal you. God healed you. And then I start preaching the gospel to her. And it was just so powerful. She receives Jesus. She, you can just see she's like coming into more and more clarity. Now, this part was really crazy. She opens up her door, goes into the side of her door, hands me a crack pipe. I have never held one of those before. It was crazy. I'm trying to play it off all cool, right? I'm like, looking at him. I'm like, wait, I'm a loaded. Okay, I see my homies right there. And I'm holding this like, she was like, oh, for 10 years, I've been sober. Just yesterday I bought this and I told God he had to send me a sign today or I'm going back to using. Yeah. Wow. So I'm holding this crack pipe like, wow, that's amazing. Yep, this is crazy, you know? And then I remember, she had a walker in her car, and it's like a food bank, also a donation center. So she reaches in and she's like, oh, can you give this to them? I don't need this anymore. And that was so crazy because I was like for a year praying, God, would people give like their cast to me, this to me, that to me? Because I just heard of stories and I was like, I want to see it. And so there's like a photo of me like carrying this walker. So of course I throw out the crack pipe immediately. Wash my hands. I actually had like a little welt because the crack burned me. I'm sorry. I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but this is true.
It's real.
It burned me. And then I'm like, okay, well, God just healed this lady in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for healing. And I saw that John go down. And I was like, yo, I have never had a day like that. And so literally God
crack
saved
pipe
her.
Healing.
Crack pipe
in
healing. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Wow. Let's go. Praise God. A cop didn't drive by. I remember one time I was ministering this guy in a Vaughn's parking lot, and I was, long story short, and I just, you know when like, when you, like love comes over you, so you just don't, you're not really like always thinking. So this guy's just like smoking fentanyl. And then like, and then he gets in my car and I take him to this place, and like halfway down the road, I'm like, oh, he's got fentanyl on him. And I was like, so I'm like driving very carefully. I don't want to get pulled over. Okay, anyways. Lost my train of thought there. The crack pipe threw me off. Bring us back together, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, let's stay on this zone for a minute, because I want to talk about healing for a second, because you said you prayed like kind of like a weak prayer. And I was thinking about, Nick shared some about John Wimber last week, and I've heard John Wimber share the story. He had prayed for like so many people to get healed and saw nothing. And then he goes to this couple's house, and I believe, if I get the story right, this man was pretty much like either on his deathbed or extremely sick. And so he's just kind of going as his pastoral duty to the house to just pray, because that's what he's meant to do. And the way he tells the story is that he prays like the weakest prayer,
And he immediately turns around to apologize to the wife for not seeing anything happen as he prays. And as he turns around to apologize, the man jolts out of bed and gets radically healed. And if I remember the story correctly, John like runs out of the house, like more excited than he's ever been. He gets in the car and he's driving down the road and he has this vision and he looks up and he sees this like huge cloud bank. And in his vision, it turns into honey and it's like honey dripping down. And God basically says, I don't ever want you to beg me to heal again. I want to heal people. And it just like, he got this confidence. And I love this, like, it wasn't a powerful prayer. It wasn't
really. Never refuse prayer. You are going to get so. And I was like, okay, so I kind of resolved in my spirit. And so because of, I honestly believe Cody and I are at outreach. And I would pray for someone and I would see that person get healed while I. Anyway, so healing happens regardless of what's I kind of reached a breaking point. I had just gone to the year, which if you don't know, that's like really bad for your body. It didn't work. My life is about to get even. I didn't want to go. And I had tickets to. I feel like you're supposed to go to this. Like, I really with you. I want you to go to this worship night. And of these spiritual moments and nothing has happened. And I actually was in the middle of praying about moving home. And I feel the Lord say, Sophie, I've ever run. And I go, okay, Lord, like after communion, no one's laying hands on me. No one's praying for me. I just feel the power of the Holy Spirit to receive communion. As I'm standing there, I just begin to sweat because I'm like, they're going to think I'm being crazy. Jenny just goes, I feel like there's a circuit rider here. You have going to feel the Holy Spirit like a heat. Wow. And I was already sweating. Here, we want to pray for you. And so I kind of raise my hand and he points at me. He's like, come up here. And he doesn't know, and she got healed. And so he puts his hands praying this over me. I'm just crying, and I just feel the love of the moment. You're so ready to be out of pain. And this was, he's praying for me. And as soon as he takes his hands off me, I cry. And it's the first time in 4 years that I hadn't.
Come on. No, I'm going to listen to mom.
They know, yes.
Wow. Well, we're gonna come back to that. So just last few moments here. How has this part of like where the Spirit shapes you to be here? How's the Spirit been shaping you into more of the likeness of Jesus? And what does that process look like? And how do you learn to yield and surrender to what the Spirit's doing kind of inside of you?
This is a great question. I think I have really, really changed so much. And I thank God. I thank God that I have. I think it's interesting when people meet this version of me. They're like, Anna, you're this amazing person. And then when I talk to people back home and they're like, oh, you're different. That used to be hard to hear, but now I'm like, yeah, I am different. Thank you, Lord. I think like I can share something the Lord's doing now, and I'll share a significant moment that the Lord really was like healing me. This was actually, I was in a circuit rider school in 2019, and I was in the Brave Love track, and they were talking about how Brave Love is easily affected. And this literally wrecked me because I'm born and raised in New York City, and that culture there is like, mind your business. You know what I'm saying? Like I've literally been on the train and it's like people are fighting and I'm headphones in ignoring it. Like just seeing the most absurd situations, seeing people in crazy situations and literally sitting there, and like how you survive is by being unaffected. Like that is survival. And so I'm raised in this reality of, don't look at other people's problems. Mind your business. Go about your own way. Don't even talk to people. You know, I remember being on a train with my friend, and there was a guy literally crawling through the train, and she starts crying, and she looks at me, and I was like, oh, I didn't even see him. And that's when I knew, like, whoa, what's going on with my heart? Because by that point, I was saved, and I just didn't even wince at that. So I'm in this Brave Love track, and Yasmin Pierce is teaching about this brave love that is easily affected, and how Jesus had a heart of compassion, and that when Jesus saw brokenness, he wasn't indifferent to it. And I'm so convicted because I'm like, man, I felt like if I had opened my heart up to start feeling, I would like never stop crying. I know that's corny, but I was like, there's so much brokenness in the world. And I remember literally just being on my knees, crying in the back of that track in CR school, like, God, I give you permission to like de-numb my heart, like to defrost my heart. And I remember like with that, God also was like, man, Anna, you should have faith. Faith that as you see broken situations, I can and want to do something about them. And so I remember walking around the city after that and seeing like, You know, on every block, you're seeing at least three people that are experiencing homelessness. Two of them have the most crazy, you know, life stories, so, like, in need of healing. And then, of course, stopping and praying where I could. But even to this day, whenever I see it, I'm just like, man, Jesus, would you, you know, would you increase on that person? Would you move on their life? And I remember that literally transformed me. I came back to church. All my friends were like, Anna, you look different. Wow. Or you physically look different. And they were like, man, you used to look like a shell of a woman, but now, like, I see you in your eyes. Like, I'm seeing life in you. And so many moments I could tell you where the Lord met me. But I think what the Lord has been doing in me this year is growing my patience. And learning that loving people is a process. And for me, I'm personally more intense. So I'm like, I'm all in or I'm all out. So if someone's like, I'm half in, I'm like, I don't get it. Be all in. Just decide. But the reality is Jesus didn't do that with people. You know, he literally waited with people and he pursued them. So I think I've just learned, like, moment after moment, putting on the Jesus way. And specifically for me, that's looked like loving people in their process. Because so many times for me, I'm like, yo, God's loving me in my process. I'm here, you know, moving slow. I know God told me to do this. You know, like, how many times have I disobeyed God? How many times has he prompted my heart? I didn't do it. He told me to do something. I didn't do it. Would I do that for others around me? How many times, how many chances do I have for somebody else? You know, so I think it's just like really learning the timing of God, the grace of God.
So good.
Yeah, that's really what I'd say.
Who could use an upgrade in patience? Yeah, I know I could sometimes. Ian, question for you, kind of in the same area, is how do you keep yourself from falling into compromise? And how have you guarded the Holy Spirit in your life? When I think, right, everyone in this room is in different friend groups and circles and different cultures, work cultures, right? And we're just constantly around temptation, right? Compromise is just one decision away. You know, so how have you guarded your relationship with the Holy Spirit and not, how are you, to use the Bible phrase, in the world but not of the world, in a sense of not allowing that compromise to get in there? What would be some practicals you would give to the room to just stay the course in the pursuit of the Holy Spirit and holiness in their life?
Yeah, great, great question. I think when you were talking earlier about how you kind of know that the Spirit is speaking, is you have really the two big tests, which is the scripture and counsel, people that are around you. And I think that the biggest parts of my life have been obviously the scripture, right? The Bible teaches us that, right? You put on the armor of God, no temptation will overcome you that is not common to man. With everyone, God provides a way of escape that you shall overcome it, right? So you have these scriptures that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind. But then also God's placed people around you and will prompt you by the Spirit of who to talk to, who to confess to, who to speak to, who to ask for help or prayer. And I think that following the Holy Spirit's leading to do that is what will keep you longer than when you're saying, like, oh, I'm good, or oh, I've got it all together. And so I think, like, following the Holy Spirit and having those key people in your life, a lot of them are over there in the front row, having Nick over there many times, talking to Nick, and having those people that the Holy Spirit will prompt you and say, go and speak, go and say this. And having that, it's like setting up guardrails of people who have gone down that road before, right? They've driven down that highway. And so you're having those people that are going to surround you and help you walk that out. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, reveals that to you as you walk on your journey with faith.
So good, because I think, yeah, right, we are so individualistic, and it's just like, it's me and the Holy Spirit. And that's obviously very true, right? All of us have that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, but we're a people of the Spirit. We're a community. And so we just got a couple moments left here, but let's just hit on this for a second. How has community served and been a guardrail for you guys in terms of, like, if you hear God say something, you're maybe like, I felt in prayer, the Holy Spirit said, go do this. What's your process like? Maybe Sophie, you can start off, like, what is your process of, like, I think I've heard God, and I'm not talking about just like, you know, he told me to go have lunch at Sessions today, but like maybe there's something larger in your life. So what is your process of, like, I think I've heard God? How do you walk that out?
Yeah, absolutely. I am also so, so grateful for the leaders in my life. And Nick and Emily, so many people that have really been incredible guardrails for me. So I would say, number one, the Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture. And so if you're hearing something that you think is the Holy Spirit, but then it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you maybe ate a bad lunch and that wasn't the Holy Spirit. So that's number one, is does it line up with Scripture is probably the first place I would go. And then number two, just super practically, I would say bringing people into your life that really love you, that actually have the authority to call out your weakness and call out, like, honestly rebuke you. Because I think a lot of times we know who to go to tell us what we want to hear, but that's not really submitting anything. Like, you need to go to people that can really have the authority to speak into your life and correct you. So I would say number one, does it line up with Scripture? And then number two, do the leaders in your life, like, approve and feel the Holy Spirit on it as well? And I think even a lot of the major decisions I've made in my life, like ones where I was moving far away or doing something crazy, those two things always happened. So
good. Yeah. So good. Well, I kind of have one final question, and then we're going to pray for everybody. It's going to be awesome. I kind of want all of you to answer this, but I would imagine most people in this room we're all in different places in our walk with God. And I think at times we all have, you know, we've had mountaintop moments, but I think most of us are aware that majority of life is not always lived on the mountaintop. You know, there's just seasons where it's just like, God, are you even there? Do you listen? Right? You haven't said a word to me in months, years. I've never heard your voice, I don't think. We get in these moments, and then when we're in a prolonged season like that, sometimes we get confused. We call it, you get swirled, all these things. So what would you say to people in this room who maybe feel spiritually dry, and they're kind of like, I don't know, like, God's not speaking, you feel silent? What word of encouragement would you give to people in the room who are in that season? I'd love for just kind of all of you to give a little encouragement to that situation.
Okay. Oh, mine's a little bit spicy. I hope it encourages you. I would say, do the last thing he told you to do. That's what I would say. Okay. I think of it like, if I go to a teacher and I'm asking for extra credit, but I haven't done my homework. Wow. And they're like, girl, you do your homework and then come and get extra credit. And I found myself in this position. What's next? What's next? What's next? And God's like, I actually told you what's now. And so I think the first thing I do, if I'm like, where are you, God? I need a word. I actually will flip some pages back in my journal. I'm so like, good. Did he tell me to do something that I didn't do?
Wow.
Whether it's as big as, you know, forgive my mom, or as small as have a conversation with the roommate. Like, little things, I think that's what I would say. And then also just being convinced that Jesus wants to speak with you more than we want to hear him.
So good.
And even thinking in the Old Testament, talking to God and hearing him. But in the Old Testament, only some people could hear him. And he would hear them, but only like the priests at a certain time of the month could go and hear from the Lord for people, or prophets could hear. But now in the New Testament, we all have access.
So
I think really, really, really being convinced, like, man, you know, John 10:10, like, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
Like, I can know God's voice. The same way if I have so many friends that we don't even live in the same continent anymore. And I'm still convinced of their love for me, even if we don't connect day to day, you know? And so there's this element with the Lord where it's like, man, I'm convinced that he loves me regardless of what it looks like now.
So good.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Sophie, maybe my question for you to address would be, what would you say to those who they're in their wrestle? And they're in that waiting game. I think you've obviously shared your story. What would be your encouragement to those who are in the room who are just like, they're waiting for their miracle, they're waiting for their breakthrough? What would you encourage them with?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, number one, God's silence is not always his rejection. And I think about John 11 when Lazarus dies, and it says that Jesus waits a few days before he goes to the tomb, and his disciples kind of mock him, and they're like, oh, like, yeah, we'll roll with this guy so that we die too. And Jesus turns to them, and I actually think this is so loving. He turns to them and he says, it is for your sake, so that you would believe that I waited. And so I think even in my season, when I was waiting on my miracle, I was waiting for the Lord to meet me in healing, I just had this resolve in my heart. And I think just because I believed in the kindness of the Lord, the kindness of the Holy Spirit, it is for my good, ultimately, that you're waiting. I don't know the mystery behind it. I don't understand all the theological terms, but I know you well enough. I trust you that it is for my good that you're waiting. And then I think the other kind of part of it is, even when I was really sick, people would say sometimes, and I love the heart behind it, but they'd be like, I know you're really sick, but I bet you're having the craziest encounters with Jesus because, like, in your suffering. And I was kind of like, I'm kind of just in pain all the time. And God was meeting me, but I wasn't like having angels like come in my room or anything crazy. And I remember there was actually like a 2-year period that I actually didn't feel the presence of the Lord very strongly for about 2 years of being sick. And I was so angry about it. And I went to hear this guy speak, and he was talking about the dark night of the soul. So like times in your life where the Lord's not meeting you and or something is going on that's really hard. And he said, but the presence of the Holy Spirit's always there. And I raised my hand and I was like, what do you do when you're in the dark night of the soul, but you don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? And he said, if you're not in disobedience, then you get in your word and you hunker down. And I left that meeting and I was driving home, and I think the Holy Spirit just rose up in me, and I just made this commitment. I was like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why I'm still sick. I don't understand why I don't feel your presence. But if I never get another goosebump, if I never have another encounter in worship, if I never have another feeling of the experience of your presence, I am committed to you. And this is not about a feeling. This isn't about an encounter. I love you. And so I think just, yeah, in those moments, because I was in my weakness.
So good.
And I think in those moments, if you're not experiencing the presence of God like you want to, just get in your word and stay committed, because it's a season, so and he'll good. Meet you.
So good. Band can come back up. One more question, then we're gonna pray for everybody. But Ian, my thing, the encouragement I'd love for you to give to everyone in the room is maybe it's for those who they are longing to step out and take risks, but there's just some lingering doubt, fear, maybe they're waiting for that feeling. What would be your encouragement to those who are in that place where they know, man, there's a call of God on my life to preach the gospel and to be used by the Spirit, but there's something keeping them from doing that? What would be your encouragement for them?
Yeah, I think like this has been the biggest switch for my life. When this clicked, everything just made sense. And it actually goes hand in hand with this question, which is, you know, people often say they feel dry or they feel cold-hearted, you know? The point of it is, in the same thing with wanting to step out, wanting to be bold, is there's an element of your life where only you can take the step of faith in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So, like, we can wait all day for the Holy Spirit to magically do something in your life. At the end of the day, only you can take the step of faith. Only you can say, I'm going to walk out there even though I feel nothing, and I'm gonna go preach the gospel to somebody.
Come on.
Or only you can go, like, when you're feeling dry and say, God still loves me. My name's written in the book of life. Right? Like, we don't need a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm sure Paul wasn't feeling warm, fuzzy feelings when he was getting shipwrecked. You know what I mean? There's no quiet time there. Like, you're washed ashore, right? Like, at the end of the day, you gotta walk in faith with the Holy Spirit. He's an advocate, and he's a helper, and he comes alongside of us in our step of faith. And so what I'd say too to people that like have this desire to do something or to step out, there is no perfect moment. In fact, I'd say there's really no good moment to do it. There's never a good moment for a step of faith. You just gotta do it. Like people ask, oh, you go out, you preach the gospel, when is it? No, I have no plan. I don't want to do it. And I tell people I go out with, I'll show them my hands when I go up to share the gospel with someone. I'm shaking. There is no magic fear thing, pill you take and it makes your fear go away and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I'm terrified. And I'm walking up to the first person I see and I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then I just say, hey, what's going on? I'll just rip the Band-Aid off and it goes horribly. And then I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. And I go to the next person. Like, we just got to rip the spiritual Band-Aid off of this whole thing and say, you can look and wait for the goosebumps to point you in the right direction. Wait for the cool moment in worship. Wait for this revealing thing. And you can wait for years, or you can take a step of faith, take a risk, get out there, step out, and watch the Holy Spirit come alongside you, empower you, be your helper. And actually that power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Come on. Wow. So good. I'm going to take a risk here. I don't know if she's here. Is Riley in the room? I met you last week. Are you here? You're here. Can you just stand up? Maybe you care to come up here?
Can we welcome Riley? If you can come up, you can come up. What's up, Riley? You can stay there. You can come up here. You can come on up. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. This is Riley. What's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So good. I just felt tonight, I think everyone's kind of hearing this, but I think the Holy Spirit is so ready to move. Holy Spirit is so ready to speak. And I just felt that the Holy Spirit wanted to say something to you tonight. So we'd love to pray for you. Can we do that?
I love that.
Okay, why don't you come over here between Anna and Sophie. We just want to pray for Riley tonight. And I just want you to see how the Holy Spirit speaks in really quick ways and how ready the Holy Spirit is to speak if we will just give him attention. And so tonight we're just going to model it, and then we're going to pray for everybody tonight. And I think that the Holy Spirit's going to seal some stuff inside of us. So we're going to do it. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to speak to Riley tonight, and then we're going to pray for all of you guys. Does that sound good? So Father, tonight we just thank you for what you're doing in this conversation, and we thank you for Riley. And we just ask tonight, Lord, we just believe, God, you want to speak to who you've created her to be. The Holy Spirit, you have a word for her tonight. And we just believe, just hearing all these stories, that you, Holy Spirit, are ready to say something. You're ready to move. And so, God, we just ask, Holy Spirit, would you speak to this team up here about Riley's life in Jesus' name?
For it. I'll yeah. Start us off. Okay, I saw a picture of you diving into the water and swimming, and I don't know anything about you. I'm actually just meeting you, but I just felt the Lord assuring you that you're better at like whatever it is that you're stepping into than you may think you are. And there's something about swimming that it's a rhythm. It's a rhythm. Or like if someone's jump roping, like once you get into the rhythm of it, you're used to it. And so I just felt the Lord encouraging you with that you could actually be better at this thing than you'd give yourself credit for. Does that resonate at all? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. I just started going to school because I want to be like a Christian-based clinical psychologist and just speak truth into people's life. And it's like I feel like I'm just getting my footing, and it's been, I don't know, like the Lord is trusting me with a lot more than he ever has before. And yeah, the Lord is just like, I got you, girl. You're doing great. I'm going to give you more. It's encouraging. Yeah.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Super simply, I just felt like the Lord said, woman of compassion, and just really deep compassion, like you carry God's heart for people, which makes so much sense. You're doing psychology. And then the other thing I felt is that the Lord's just given you a unique grace for women and to speak in women's lives. And I just felt like even if that's something that is kind of maybe newer, I just felt like the Lord was just highlighting women attached to the yes of your life. And yeah, that's what I felt.
Trusting me with all different kinds of people, so I'm sure he has more for me. I feel like I've definitely always like connected with women more, just because like my relationships with men in my life haven't fully been there, so he's like highlighted women and just like strengthened me to speak to them already.
Yes.
And encourage them. So yeah,
so good.
I love that. Thank you.
I felt the Lord just wanted to remind you, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord has handpicked you. Felt that just simply. Fearfully and wonderfully made, the Lord handpicked you. Not for an assignment, it's not a word of prophecy, but you know, the Bible even says that, you know, before the foundations of the earth, he predestined us for a relationship with him, and that God chose you for a relationship with him, and that reminder of his love for you.
Final picture I saw just for you is I saw there was, you were like, it was like a bungee cord behind you, and it felt like you had reached
like you had gone as far as you could in this season. There was like this like longing for more, but you're like, I don't know. And I just saw the Lord cutting the bungee cord and I hear him say, run. And so we just want to pray for you in this next season that the Holy Spirit wind at your back would just propel you forward in the crazy way. Can we all stand together? We're going to pray for everyone. We just want to pray for Riley here, and then we're going to pray for all you guys. So Father, tonight we just pray for Riley. We just ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the wind of the Spirit would be at her back. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the call and the gift of God over her life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are calling her to dive headfirst into the deep end, that it's no more shallow wind walking. It's time to dive into the deep end of the Spirit. And so we ask, in Jesus' name, God, that you would fill her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that you would empower her by your Holy Spirit, that you would put people in her path, God, that you would put words in her mouth. Holy Spirit, that you would give her a fresh anointing in this season to run. We say run, run, run in the name of Jesus. Run faster than you've ever run before. Be bolder than you've ever been before. Risk more than you've ever risked before. In Jesus' mighty name, the Father says you are ready for what is ahead. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Here's what I want us to do. Here's what I want you to do. If you want to, I want you to come forward. You can step out. We're going to pray for everyone. I'm going to have the team pray for you, and then we're going to go into worship. But if you just want to come forward, step out, we're going to go into worship. But I just want to pray a final kind of prayer of impartation over everyone. I want the team here to pray, and then we're going to go into worship tonight. But I just believe tonight that as they were sharing, I feel like each of them have something to impart to you. There's something in the Bible where Paul talks about, he says, I was hungry, he was ready to come in Rome, and says, I want to impart a spiritual gift to you. And so tonight, as we end in this series, we want to pray that the Holy Spirit would unleash you and activate you in a way that you've never been activated before. That whether it's in your job, in your community, in your university, that wherever you go, you would be activated by the Holy Spirit to begin to take risks. And so tonight we're going to pray for a fresh impartation of courage over you. So I'm going to ask all three of the team here to pray for you, and then we're going to go into the wildest response of worship tonight. And I just believe the Holy Spirit is going to mark you. So can we just lift our hands to heaven, close our eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus. Tonight, Lord, we are asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would seal the work that you've been doing in this series, Lord. We're asking in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you would bring about a fresh impartation of yourself tonight, that you would reveal yourself to every person in this room, that you would activate deep inside of them just a new anointing, a new calling, a new gifting over their life, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would increase even now in this room. Jesus, I thank you that you died for us. God, I pray that you would literally make the gospel come alive to us in any way that it has not come alive yet. Spirit of revelation, I ask that you would give us a fresh understanding that we are blood-bought and that you want to speak to us. God, I thank you that you want to speak to every person in this room. God, I ask even now, would you begin to whisper things to people? God, would you begin to remind them of things you've already spoken? And Jesus, I pray right now for an impartation of grace, for an impartation of faith and courage in the name of Jesus, that people would step out, God, regardless of circumstances, regardless of feelings, and do what you told them to do. God, I just pray for anyone in this room that's been waiting for confirmation. With this prayer right now, be their confirmation that they heard you and that it's time to step out in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, I just pray for a deep hunger to fill every single person in this room, God, a hunger for your presence, a hunger to know you deeper, Jesus. I even just highlight, God, those of us that are in this room, Lord, and maybe we feel like you've been a little quiet. Maybe our quiet time has felt a little dry. Lord, I just pray refreshment over them in Jesus' name, Lord. Would you make the word come alive again? Would you give them a deep hunger, God, that when they wake up in the morning, they can't wait to get in your presence. They can't wait to talk to you about their life, about their day, about who you are. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit on them in Jesus' name?
Lord, we thank you for each person in this room. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for a baptism of the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for courage to take over every heart in this place. Lord, we ask that you would begin to speak and reveal steps of risk and ways to step out
and to walk in courage. Lord, I bind every single attack of the enemy of fear over people's lives that would make them be timid or to silence their mouth or to back down or to step back. Lord, we pray for the most insane radical courage, steps of faith, that people would begin to take steps of risk that would begin to see fruit in their lives. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak even now in this moment? Lord, what is that step of risk, that place that they're gonna go, that person they need to talk to? Holy Spirit, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you would see many people come to Christ.
Come on, say this with me tonight. Say, in Jesus' name. Come on, say, in Jesus' name, I receive more of the Holy Spirit. I receive, come on, I receive a fresh anointing.
Thanks for listening to a Circle Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.